Okay, so we are Reish Peiches. Is a little things are a little choppy in the beginning here. On the source sheet, I think I have the first four pages are from the tour in the Beis Yosef. Been choppy in terms of going back and forth in the sources.
I'm skipping.
All right, let's try it one more. Try going a little bit more, and then we'll go back. Do the other side of the room thing. Okay, so we are up to Siman Reish Peiches. We started it last time, which at this point was 2 weeks ago. The issue we were discussing was the issue with the margins of the mezuzah. Reish Peiches in general is the halachos of the mezuzah itself. So if we look at the tour, so actually go to the fourth page of the tour, page Reishayim Gimel. So we touched on this at the end of the last year. So the Beis Yosef on Reishayim Gimel, I believe that's the fourth page in the source sheet. So where it says Aleph Beis. So there he comments that the Gemara says that when you look at a mezuzah, so the mezuzah needs to have a little bit of space on the top and a little bit of space at the bottom. So the Beis Yosef continues on and says, So Mashakasu v'tchila k'dei lagul osa. So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Tur. The Tur is quoting from the Rush that in the beginning, meaning the opening part, the right side of the mezuzah, there should be enough to encircle the entire cloth. Lagulosa. Right? Kain kasav arash, v'zel lishon v'revach, shemin hatzdadin lo perish, v'yirish tzarech laniach. Right? The Gemara never actually tells you how much space there needs to be on the side. So he thinks that you need to have k'dei lagul klaf in order to encircle the entire klaf. K'ven d'nichreches mi'echad kalpe shema. Plus, when you roll it towards the Shema, as like a Sefer Torah does. And like a Sefer Torah also, you need to have enough klaf at the end to encircle the entire thing. But at the end, you don't need any space. Ad kan l'shono, that's what the Rush says. And that's what Tosfos makes that comment as well. So you would think, that must be the minhag amongst Ashkenazim. However, the Gaos Maimoni is right, a commentary on the Rambam that records Ashkenazi practice. It says, Kasu b'shem sefer ha-truma, she'ein tzarech laniach b'tchil, that you don't need to leave that space before, k'dei lagul ha-kaf midenahagu she'yehei shin dalid yud nira mibachutz. Because our minhag is that we have the letters shin dalid yud visible on the outside. Right, where does that idea come from? So the truth is that is recorded by the Rama later on at the end of this siman. So the end of this siman not just what's on the front of the mezuzah, but what's on the back of the mezuzah. So there is an idea of the shin dalad yud being on the back of the mezuzah. It's a little bit of a machlokas as to where exactly it should be on the back of the mezuzah. But ideally, it should be, generally speaking, the general minhag is that it's in the space before v'haya im shamoa. Just pull out one of my let's see what we got here. Okay. Oh, this was a very nice mezuzah that somebody put in a bad case, and therefore it rained on the bottom, so it ruined the bottom. But you see, right on the back, the shin dalad yud goes in the space between the v'haya im shamoa. Probably can't see anything, but and that's right. So when you roll it up left to right. So with this one, right, you would easily see the shin dalad yud on the outside. That's how we generally roll our mezuzahs. This isn't really coming in so well, but there you go. Okay, right. So what Tosfos are suggesting is actually that there should be a larger space, a space on the right margin that can actually encircle the entire thing. This is not encircling the entire thing. It's only a little bit. So if you get I don't think I have any up here now that the workshop has moved downstairs. But when you get mehudr mezuzahs, generally speaking, there is a large space, generally about a centimeter on the right, before you get to the mezuzah itself. That's to fulfill this din. Now, the truth is, I'm not really sure that that's really l'chachila, because as we see here, that there is a machlokes between Tosfos and the Hagos Maimoni. And Tosfos and the Rush are not recording the issue of the Shindal Yud. They might not even have had it. I don't know. But the Ghost Maimony does. And if you have the a custom of doing the Shindal Yud, so perhaps there should not be that extra space. And we'll see that Svara as we get into the Shulchan Aruch. So let's just knock this halacha out first before we get into the rest. So in the Shulchan Aruch itself, when this is recorded, so on Reish Pei Ches Sif Aleph, so the second half of the Shulchan Aruch says, Va'usula revach milmata v'revach milmala. There should be a space a little bit below the mezuzah, a little bit above the mezuzah. Kamo chatzi tziporin, like half of a finger width. I'm not sure what that is. It's probably even just to accommodate a lamed or a kuf or a chaf sofit or a nun sofit. That's really what we're
totally out.
What? Oh.
That's really going in.
That's 30 seconds left.
Let's move to the other side of the room. We've had a little bit more success.
You have an extender.
I have an extender. We're back. Not working at all. Oh, the extender's not working, or it stopped working. One or the other. Okay, so So the Shulchan Aruch here in Reish Pei Ches suggests as follows. He says, Osa revach milmata v'revach milmala, you make a space below and a space above, perhaps to accommodate the lamids and the kufs, meaning the letters that go a little bit out of the range. Right? Kamo chatzi tziporun v'tchilasa yishayir kidei lugul osa achar shetichrach. And in the beginning, you should leave enough in order to encircle the entire thing when you wrap it up. And at the end, you don't need any space. That's what the Rama adds there. Okay, so if you add mehudr mezuzah, so often when you buy mehudr mezuzahs, there'll be those big 6-inch mezuzahs, there'll be that space beforehand. So there's a problem, though, was then what happens to the Shindal Yud? So if we take a look here at the Pische Tshuva, so the Pische Tshuva bays at the bottom, so he addresses this. He says, Ayin b'tshuvas shvus Yaakov, chelik beisim and kufches, he says, he discusses this. He says, what are they being somechan, all the sofrim, that do not leave this space? And he says, that even though the Shulchan Aruch does record this halacha of having the large margin in the beginning of the mezuzah, mikol makom bimach. What? Of machlokas. I don't have the top of the spot there. Okay. The machlokas shenui. It's a machlokas. At the end of the day, it's a machlokas. We shown him. Dina poskim. The das rova poskim. Near shein tzarech laniach. He says, and the truth is, if you stack them all up, it could be that most poskim do not require that amount of space. V'chein hanach liYisrael, and therefore, therefore leave them what their practices. Yimeinam neviim plus the bnei Yisrael. If they're not neviim, they're bnei neviim. Right there, following their mesorah. So just leave them. Ki yesh lahem gedolei poskim lismach aleihem. V'im tomar ma bekach nachmir lechatchila v'yaniach kedei lagul. He says, well, okay. But why would we not be machmir? Meaning, okay, very good. So they have what to rely on because many poskim over the years were makel on this. He says, but what's there to lose by adding that space? He says, oh, I'll tell you what there is to lose. Ze'eno, the hayesh lachu sheyichase shem shel shaddai. Plus you're going to cover over the shindal. You're going to cover over the name. Ve'i yinakiv hagvil. So what's there a suggestion for? So just before we get to those last lines, oh, I didn't put on your page. The Rama, he actually acknowledges this. And he says, what should we do? If you go to page 5, I think, on the sheet there, right? If you go to the next page.
Page 6,
right? So if you go on page 6, right, on the bottom left, there should be a picture of a rolled mezuzah with a cutout for the Shindal Yud. He says, so
What?
Yeah.
Right, so that's actually the recommendation of the Rama. I've never seen anybody do that. But that's what the Rama says to do. So he says, what about that? So he says, well, maybe V'i Yanakev Hagvil concludes the Piskei Tshuva. Says Yeginai, maybe that's not the nice thing to do. Therefore, leave it as is, and therefore, what the minug is, the minug is. So the Piskei Tshuva seems to be fine with leaving it as is, therefore I don't really understand why the minug of Mehudr Mezuzahs is to have this large space there when the Shindal Yud then gets covered up. So what I do when I roll the mezuzahs is I try to leave it, you know, if you don't roll it so tight, so then you could often see the Shin Dalet Yud. The problem is that that might not be what the halacha is, right? The halacha is, what's the point of this halacha, of having this large margin, right? The point of the halacha, it seems, is to encircle the entire klaf. So if you're just not going to wrap it so tight, it could be you're not fulfilling the din anyways, right? That just means you need to have more klaf on the side over there. So I'm not really sure. The trail kind of went cold on this. Just in the Sefer Mezuzah, it just gives the various practices. The Agud Ba'alecha also, he just says, I guess you should follow the Rama, but there doesn't seem to be a strong psak. I just say the minug out there is that when you buy most mezuzahs that you purchase do not have the large margin, but the mehudr ones do, but the truth is it doesn't seem like it really is automatically mehudr. There is certainly a reason to say that you shouldn't have such a large space. Yeah, Sheldon.
Says that the margin should be half of 8 to 2 corridors and nail.
Yeah.
That's not a big much.
I mean, no. Look at your mezuzahs, the top and bottom of the mezuzah.
1/4 inch or something. Well, that's a top of the
mezuzah. Yeah, that's referring to the...
large margin on the front.
Right. Well, this one's actually kind of large, but... That's the right. That the Shulchan Aruch shear is to be able to wrap the entire thing, right? Right. So here's the top and bottom have a relatively small margin on top and bottom, right? And okay. Okay. So that is the wrapping. And the Rama's recommendation of cutting a space out. Again, I've never seen. I've never had such a mezuzah brought to me. Etc. I mean, the whole idea with the Shin Dalet Yud, we'll get to it a little bit later. There is an idea that it should be pointed outwards, which has its own issues because we'll get to it later. But that halacha probably is only applicable if you have a clear case. If you have a opaque case, there probably is no reason really to have the Shin Dalet Yud facing out. Okay, so all of that is that takes care of Sif Aleph. Okay. So now we could turn to Sif Beis. We go back to the tour here.
Probably really matters if you have a transparent case. I mean, there must be some mystical reason why you want it on the back, right? Or is it just purely for aesthetic?
No, there is. It is. It's actually the earliest source. The suggested earlier source is from the Zohar. It appears in the Zohar. So, right. So it does go back. But so then, right. So is there then a recommendation to have clear cases? So probably yes. In the Svarim, in the, what's it called? In the modern Svarim, it does recommend clear cases over opaque ones for that reason. I would just say, don't do that outside. If it's going to be in the sun, it should not be a clear case. It's going to ruin the mezuzah. All right, so if we go back to the tour, back to page 1, so you see the bottom of the tour, it puts the beis and the dalet together. What's that? So the tour says, v'im kasva b'shnei oros psulos v'afilu im yidvakam, that if you write it on two pieces of parchment, it's pasul, even if you stick them together. Rashi pasul afilu im kasfa bor echad b'shnei dafin, and Rashi pasuls it even if it's on one piece of skin, but it's on two columns. V'lo nihira umichol makom tov l'kosfa b'daf echad. right? Still, you should write it on one daf. Why would there be an advantage to writing it in two columns? I don't know. I don't know why there would be, why Rashi would be suggested, but it is coming off of the Gemara. So the Beis Yosef here at the bottom of Ayin Reish, so this is a Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Hakomets, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kasfa al Shnei Dafin Psula, that if it's written on two dafin, so then it's pasul. So what are two dafin? What does it mean, two dafin? So that ends up being a machlokas Rashi against everybody else. So the Gemara continues, Meisvei kasfal shnei dafin veinicha b'shnei sifin psula, ha b'saf echad ksheira. The Gemara, if it's written on two dafin, meaning, so unclear what that means again, but two columns or two pieces of parchment, and you place it on two different doorways, so he says that's pasul, meaning if it's on one doorway, it would be okay. So rather, meaning that it's fit for two different doorways, that's what it was talking about. So Rashi explains that it could be on two different doorways. That the gvil was cleared between each column, meaning they had an empty space between the two daf. And therefore, you could cut it into two. But Tosfos doesn't explain that way. Tosfos and the Rush both say, Hikshu al Pirusha, v'kazu nir lefarish b'shnei dafim, b'shnei chatichos, v'chein nir medivrei harambam, u'mordechai kasa v'shara v'lchanan, hevi raya l'peirish rashim yirushami. Okay. So Tosfos, the Rambam, the Rush, they all say that no, what the Gemara is posseling is if it's on two different pieces of parchment. If it's on two, if you split a mezuzah on two different pieces of parchment, even if it's then sewn together, so that's going to be considered to be a pasul mezuzah.
It's always written as one single column, right?
Rashi's, so the implication is that we would permit it to be on two different columns. Meaning Rashi says two different columns is a problem, and the other Rishonim are all explaining it as saying, no, two columns technically would be mutter. Now, you asked, is it always written in one column? Yes. Right? It is always written in one column. I don't know why there would be an advantage to writing it in two columns. The only possible advantage I could think of maybe is if there's a hole in the middle of the cloth. Maybe that might be a reason to write it in two different columns, but I've certainly never seen it. And the truth is, all mezuzahs have the same, I don't know, what you call it, the same lineage? Format?
Format, it's actually each line is the same.
Right, each line is the same. And there's a mesorah about which letters should start it off, and all mezuzahs are the same, although the person who I learned a little bit of Hilchos Safras from, Rabbi Adam, I think has a story that he once had to write a mezuzah for, that's not lahalacha, I mean, that's the way it is. So he has a story that we'll see a little bit later, that the scenario of an arched doorway where you have a very small space where you should put a mezuzah. So he was hired to write a mezuzah that was going to be like an inch and a half tall, or something like that. Very, very short mezuzah. So he wrote it very long. He wrote a three, or I guess a four-line mezuzah. That was how he did that. But under most circumstances, it's going to be you're going to have the same writing on each. Okay, so that gets split then between halacha beis and halacha dal. So if you now go back to page 5 in the Shulchan Aruch itself, page 5 and I guess page 7. So page 5, the Shulchan Aruch here says in halacha beis, I'm not sure why the Mechaber split it up this way, but he did split up a little bit of an odd way. But in halacha beis he says, Sarach l'kasva b'daf echad v'im kasva b'vezo b'gimel dafin k'shera. That it needs to be on one daf, but if you did put it on two or three dafin, it would be kasher. Meaning the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos against Rashi. Like Tosfos and the Rambam and the Rush against Rashi. If technically it could be, you could have multiple lines. The Gra might disagree with this, because there is like a Yerushalmi or something that the Gra digs up, and that's also quoted by others to defend Rashi. Beis Yosef himself quoted that. But that's the way that it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Now if you go to Halacha Dalid, Sif Dalid, So the Shulchan Aruch says there, Kasva b'shnei oros afal pisha tafran psula, that if you write it on two pieces of ore, meaning two pieces of parchment, even if you then go ahead and sew it together, it's going to be pasul. So the shach just says, right, like two pieces of cloth. But the Piskei Tshuva says, whoa, wait a second. We keep saying two pieces of, if you write it on two pieces of cloth and then you sew them together. What about if you have two pieces of cloth, you sew them together, and then you write the mezuzah, right? Would that be okay? So the Piskei Tshuva here says, afal pi shetafran, ayin betshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger, right? The betafran mikodem haksiva mashma, that if it was sewn before the writing, medivri rashi megillah daf ches, lechafran begidin de kasher. That Rakiv Eger suggests that it would then be mutter in that case. So again, never seen this done, nowadays. But you can imagine the case. People don't have cloths around, and that's what they're able to come up with. Fine. Okay, it gets the explanation Rashi, but that's good. Okay. Now we get back, now one more, now to do Sif Gimel. I'm trying to decide actually what to do next. For this halach, I don't want to get let's just do this next part in the Shulchan Aruch as well. Sif Gimel. So Sif Gimel says in the Shulchan Aruch, Kasva Shalo Al Haseder. Let's say you write it out of order. So Afilu Shachach Milichtov Os Achas Pasel. So even if you forgot to write one letter, it's going to be Pasel, because you can't go back to rewrite it. Ve'ein la takana, there's no way of fixing it. Ve'ein tzarech lomar mihiktim parsha leparsha. Certainly, if you write the second parsha before the first parsha, so certainly that's going to be a problem. So the halacha is that a mezuzah has to be written what they call kesidron. Everything has to be written in order. Right. They do suggest in a Sefer Torah, we talked about this in Hilchos Sefer Torah, about putting a letter on top. So that also is not something Shach says. That's something you can't do that when it comes to mezuzah. Now, the Piskei Tshuva on the bottom, Gimel, so there's one word here on this page, and then it goes on to the next page. So Shalo Ala Seder. So Ayin Shach va'ayin bidvar Shmuel, Simon Kuftan Dal, Shekasov She'in Litlos Teva Achas Bein Hashitin B'Ksivas HaTfilin. That even if you are writing it in order, you're not allowed to put a word in between the lines. I mean, when a Sefer Torah said you could add something between the lines in a Sefer Torah, so he says here that you can't do that even if you're writing in order. Meaning it's not just a way of getting an extra word in. Even if you'd be writing in order, you would still not be allowed to do that. He says that's going to be different, so therefore that's also called lo kesidron. That the way of writing them is specifically not to have much space. I don't know what that means, not to have much space, but that's what he's lakach ain't tol, and therefore don't do it. I am beginas veradim. Because of Gamkein, Hachidin Nizdamin Le Hasofer Shashita Dechuka, Mehachil Hateva, Shashir La, Ein Lahate Shayitla Teva Achas Lamala, Bein Ashitas, Vachach Yarod Lichtov Kesedar Ashita, Shamkas of Das Rashi, Tvil and Mezuzah, Hamude Chamire, Tvev, Afil Betliasos Achas Gamkein Mechse Kimnumar, Ayin Sham. That even if you're running out of space, or you're getting to the end of the line and you're running out of space, still, even under those circumstances, you're not allowed to add lines in, letters in on top, and you just got to figure out a way of dealing with it. Now, by the way, we'll get to a little bit later that the halacha in mezuzah is that you actually have to, the lines have to square off, that the end of the lines also have to square off, that you can't have like a jagged end. Or three lines in a row going one direction or the other. We'll get to that. It's a little known halacha in Hilchos Safras, but that is a halacha. It's called the Kippah rule, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Okay, now we get into one other issue here, which opened my mind to something that I was working on and didn't understand last week. It was the back of the page from the shir between Mincha and Maariv that we didn't get to. I was working on that, and there was something in that sugi that I was stuck on and was able to perhaps find an explanation here, or at least the beginning of an explanation. I don't quite understand it yet, as we'll see. So if you take a look back in the Beis Yosef, so I guess if we go to page Sifhei in the Beis Yosef. So Sifhei, where is Sifhei in the Beis Yosef? Okay, on Reish Ayin Aleph, page Reish Ayin Aleph. What?
What page?
Reish Ayin Aleph, page number 2 on the source sheet.
Okay,
so he says in the Torah, right? Uvachol mishpatei sefer Torah b'inyan ibud ha'or v'lishmo v'din ha'dyo v'haksiva v'hatagin shel shatnis gatz kachu adin m'mezuzah. He says all the halachos of a sefer Torah with regards to ibud ha'or. Right, what was Ibud Ha'or? That was the tanning process. The tanning process has to be Lishma. Now, there's a whole question which we got into in Hilchos Sefer Torah about how Lishma does it need to be. Can you make it Lishma that it could be either Mezuzah Tefillin or Sefer Torah, or does it have to be specifically for one? So it's considered Ichumr, but okay. That's check back for the Hilchos Sefer Torah stuff. But it needs to be Lishma. V'din Hadiyovak, even all the other halachos are going to be the same. Ella Shahi Niftav es Shelo Min Haksav, right? With one exception being that you could write a mezuzah Lo Min Haksav. You don't actually have to copy it off another text because we assume everybody knows the mezuzah and everybody knows the tefillin. V'Rambam Kasev She'en Tzricha Ibud Lishma. He says the Rambam says it does not need to be Ibud Lishma, and the Rosh said that no, that you do need it. So what's going on here? What does it mean that the Rambam all of a sudden said that you don't need Ibud Lishma? So the we'll take a look in the Beis Yosef, and then we'll see the Rambam inside. Right? So you see, the Beis Yosef here says, El Shinichtev Shalom, V'arambam Kasur She'en Atzrichi Ibud Lishma. So in the first parak of Tefillin, V'atosvus Kasur, we'll see the Rambam soon, V'atosvus Kasur, Parakat Chayos, De'efshar, De'taymo, Minitanya, Tefillin, E'o, Nikhin, Ela, Min Hamumcha, Mezuzot Nikhin, Mikol Adam. That the halacha is that you could actually buy tefillin, you should only buy from a mumcha, but mezuzah you could buy from anybody. And he says the reason is maybe because tefillin needs lishma and mezuzah does not. Okay, but why not? Why not? Why does it not need ibud lishma? So if you take a look on page 6 or 7 in the source sheet, there's a from the Rambam. Right, I didn't open this yet. Is it? I sort of cheated and put two pages on one page. There, page 8. Right, page 8. So in the Rambam himself in Hilcho in Halacha Yud Aleph over there. So what does he say? So the Rambam there says this is again the Rambam you see puts Hilchos Tefillin Mezuzah and Sefer Torah together. So the Rambam there says, "Gvil shel sefer Torah, v'klaf shel tefillin, o shel sefer Torah, tzarech la'abid oson lishman, v'im avdan shel lishman, psulin." Right? If you don't do it lishman, it's possible. If yichachim avdan a'agoy, psulin, it's going to be possible. If yish amru lo la'avid, or zel l'shem ha'sefer, l'shem ha'tefillin, sh'agoy al das atzma hu oseh lo, and it's not going to work. But then if you look at the end of that halacha, the Rambam just shtups in there, u'mezuzah ina tzricha ibud lishma. He says, mezuzah, you don't require ibud lishma. So, wow, okay. Right? Where does he get that from? So I'm having trouble reading it off the page. So this question had been bothering scholars of the Rambam all the way back to the time that the Rambam was actually alive. Right? Which is a very good thing, because when the Rambam was alive, you could still ask him what he meant by that. So this is actually a question that they asked the Rambam. And that's what the Kesef Mishnah records from the Tshuvos of the Rambam. There we go. So the Kesef Mishnah is quoting the sources, right? The Kesef Mishnah right off the bat says it doesn't. And if you look at the bottom of the of here, the Kesef Mishnah here, right next to the text, he says, Kfar Nishal Rabbeinu Elzeh, that the Rambam was asked about this, Michach Me Lunil, Vehishiv, and he answered, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, and he answered it. So this is what it said. It says, teach us, Bifnei Ma Or Shel Mezuzah, Eina Tzricha Ibud Lishma. Why does a mezuzah not require Ibud Lishma? Right? Afa Pisha Sefer Torah Tefillin Tzarech Ibud Lishma, and Menifsalin Im Lo In Eved Lishma. Ve'im Yishum Dekari Lei LeMezuzah Kachekala, Gamkin Korer L'Tfila Kedusha Kala. He says, and if you say that mezuzah is called at one point Kedusha Kala, like a lighter Kedusha, well, Tefillin is also, Tefillin Shel Yad is also called Kedusha Kala in a Gemara. So the Rambam says, Lo mifnei zeh, that says, no, that's not the reason. El mifnei shelo nishma b'mezuzah ibud l'shma. He says, because the Gemara doesn't mention ibud l'shma by mezuzah. V'hecha de itmar itmar, hecha de lo itmar itmar, lo itmar. And the Rambam says, listen, when the Gemara talks about ibud l'shma, the Gemara only talks about Sefer Torah and Tefillin having ibud l'shma, and it doesn't say mezuzah. So the Rambam says, so therefore I'm leaving out mezuzah. So, okay, that's a little unfulfilling, especially because many of the halachos just seem to go one to the other, to the other, to the other, right? So the Rambam doesn't stop there. He says, V'im Tomar, and the Rambam says, and if you ask, my taima, so why would that be? Sefer Torah utfilin tzrichin ibud lishman. He says, why should it be that they need and this one doesn't? And the answer is, Lefisha itzmo shel sefer Torah v'itzman shel tfilin heim ha-mitzvah. He says, the essence of the Sefer Torah and the tfilin is the mitzvah. Lefichach hitzrichu lasus lahem chashivus yisera. Therefore, they need to be more chashuv. V'hitzrichu l'uvdan lishman. Lefisha yazhir b'ivudan l'man yamdu yamim rabin. Because you should be careful about it so that they will last a long time. V'itzma shal mezuzah eino ha-mitzvah. He says the essence of the mezuzah is not the mitzvah. V'lo tichashiv mitzvah el mifnei habayis chayiv. The only time you're chayiv in the mitzvah of mezuzah is if you happen to live in a house. But if you happen not to live in a house, so you're not chayiv in mezuzah. So a Sefer Torah is an automatic chiyuv, tefillin is an automatic chiyuv, and mezuzah is not. So therefore, mezuzah is not going to require ibud l'shma chayiv. V'im ein bayis ein mezuzah, aval Sefer Torah, tefillin, chuvas haguf, tadira ad kan l'shono. That's the end of the Rambam. So, right? So why should that make a difference? So there's much in the Sefer Mafteach in the back of the Rambam, it is a pretty long list of achronim that deal with this issue. It started on the Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a couple pages on this issue in the Sefer Mezuzah I quoted before. There's a little bit here in the Aruch HaShulchan that maybe just gives a sense as to what they're trying to say, which appears on page 9, right? I think. Yeah, so the next page has on the bottom right, Gimel. This is in Hilchos Sefer Torah, but the Aruch HaShulchan attempts to address this. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, right, why is it that the Rambam doesn't require Lishma? Oh, and by the way, how do we paskin? We didn't do it, but in the Shulchan Aruch, it paskins like the other opinions, L'chachila, but if you're in a place where you can't get it, so you can rely on the Rambam to have one that has Ibud not Lishma. Right, meaning essentially you're getting a piece of parchment from an art supply store, right? That essentially is what Ibud Shelo Lishma would be. So you can rely on that. You can rely on Rambam B'Shas Adchak. So what does the Aruch HaShulchan say? The Aruch HaShulchan says, "Kasei Rambam Perak Alef Din Yud Alef." Right, Gil Shel Sefer Torah, V'Klash Shel Tefillin, Shel Sefer Torah. Right, he quotes the Rambam and right, concluding with the Mezuzah Ain't Sarach Ha'Ibud Lishma. So the Tameyu HaKadmonim. So the earlier people asked, "Mein Lo the Mezuzah Ain't Sarach Ha'Ibud Lishma." V'Chachmi Lunil Shalu Baze Asis V'Heishiv Deinu Mitzvah El Mifnei Habayis Kamo Shekasev B'Kol Makom V'Gam Baze Tameyu Alav. He says, wait a second, the truth is even that answer is questionable because the Yerushalmi itself just says, Orshe ibdu l'shem kamiya mutter lichtu v'lav mezuzah. Meaning the Yerushalmi itself seems to imply that if you have parchment that was tanned for the purpose of a kamiya, you can actually write a mezuzah on it. Rosh Gamliel says, Aser. And we pass it like the Tadakama, like the first opinion, the Gam Katsifen Zahav. Pasak delo karev shimon gamliel. That even, I'm not sure what Tzipen Zahav, we don't pasak shimon gamliel. The sphere lay barashi, Sanhedrin, right? Umachalik bein, but they atfilin bein a parshios atzman, velchein hamezuzah afshe domo le parshios atzman mikom makom. He said, they argue about it, and we paskin that you don't need it. And then in the second part here, on the top of the, I'm not on the right page here, on the top of the... Where'd my mouse go? There you go. Okay, at the top of the next halacha, he also adds in a little bit. Right, that even that b'dieven, maybe you could be yotzi even not lishma by sefer Torah nearly shapirsha. Okay, you know that's we won't get into what he says there, but it's still somewhat unclear. However, this does explain a little bit as to something that I was wondering about last week, because one of my somebody came to me that somebody was that a sofer had looked at their tefillin and said that they were pasul. Why were they puzzled? Sorry, let me pull up this ring here. What was the psul that they found? So they found a couple of things that were here, you know, whatever. A couple of letters that were connected, which you could, you know, which you could fix. So he sent me, the sofer sent me the pictures of it, was the person who wanted me to see the partios. So he sent me pictures of it. And I said, okay, I see a lot of scratch, you know, I see a lot of letters that are a little connected and maybe a little coats or whatever, little thing that could be, right, that all that could be fixed. So I said, why don't you, I assume you're just going to fix it all, right? Why are you getting new partios? This is all by text. He says, no, I'm getting sending new partios. Why new partios? So he said, because the lamids are all only kasher b'dieved. What's the issue with the lamids? So the biggest issue with the lamids, if you look at most mezuzahs, you could see it very quickly, is that the halacha of a lamid is that it's supposed to be a vav on top of a chaf. That's the way what a lamed is supposed to look like, right? A vav on top of the chaf. So what about if the vav is not so vavy, right? What if the vav is not so high? So the Mishnah Berurah says that if it looks like a yud and not like a vav, so then there are poskim that say that it's puzzle, that it's even puzzle b'dieved, being completely puzzle. But generally, people understand the Mishnah Berurah as saying that such a lamed would be kasher b'dieved. So I told this sofer, I said, so kasher b'dieved doesn't mean pasul, right? Kasher b'dieved means, right, what does kasher b'dieved mean? So we've talked about this a little bit before, right? What does kasher b'dieved mean? So generally speaking, it means, all right, you were yotze. But when it comes to a mezuzah and tefillin, right, so that's something, it's not just you were yotze, you need to be, continue to be yotze, right? What does that mean going forward? So does that mean that if it was bought already, if it was put up already, you have to take it down? Does it mean if it was bought already, you can't use it? Does that mean it was written already, you're not allowed to sell it? I mean, what does the b'dieved in that context mean? So I actually found a tshuva from the Orech Yaakov. Happen to have it here. Orech Yaakov is a very, this is printed in the last year or two or something or so, from Rav, I always forget his name, Rav, a major posek in Lakewood now, very close with Rav Shmuel actually, Forsheimer in Lakewood, where he said, or he suggests, based on a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, that b'dieved means that if it means throwing it out, b'dieved means you could continue to use it, right? He brings a proof for having to do from Hilchos Kashrus, where it sounds like an oven was heated in an inappropriate way. So it says, yeah, but b'dieved, you could use the oven going forward. So Tosfos asks, well, wait a second, why should you use it going forward? It might be b'dieved for the oven, but you're putting in new bread, so it's l'chachila for the bread, right? So why is that okay? So Tosfos says, well, if it would mean you'd have to break the oven, so then the b'dieved, you're allowed to continue to use the oven. So he says the same thing here. If it would mean you'd have to throw out the parsha, so then b'dieved, you could continue to use the parsha. And he says, and not only that, but we have a mesorah from Rav Aaron Cutler that these halachos of b'dieved, of l'chachila and b'dieved, when it comes to ksav, is on the sofer. Because it's a mitzvah to write Sifrei Torah and Tefillin. That's what he says. It's a mitzvah to write Sifrei Torah and Tefillin. So when it comes to the sofer writing it, so he has the obligation of doing it mehudar. But if you're the buyer, so it doesn't make a difference anymore whether it's l'chachila or b'dieved, and you're still yotzei l'chachila going forward off of that. So I was like, huh? I've heard of a mitzvah to write a Sifrei Torah. I never heard of a mitzvah to write Tefillin. Right? Where is there a mitzvah to write tefillin, and is that applicable to mezuzah as well? So I think this might be the beginning of the answer. I'm not necessarily sure what the answer, but I feel you see this distinction as well, where the Rambam seems to say that there is a mitzvah inherently in the mitzvah of the Sefer Torah and tefillin, to the point that it, I guess, needs to be used, I think Rav Chaim Kanievsky goes a little bit further. I just didn't have time to completely work out what he meant. So I had no idea what Rav Aaron Cutler was talking about. I was very happy to find that tshuva, because I did send it to the sofer and say, aha, you see, b'dieved in Hilchos, if he has it already, he doesn't have to get new parshios. But I didn't really know why that would be. So this opened my eyes, I think, to the beginning of the answer as to what the mitzvah of writing tefillin and the mitzvah of writing Sefer Torah would be in that context. All right.
What about a lemon that's bent over?
What do you mean?
That's not kosher at all?
What do you mean bent over?
Instead of like a vav on top of the chaf, it's got a almost...
If the vav is slanted somewhat, yes. So the vav, if it,
more than somewhat. I mean, almost laying down on the chaf.
So if it's laying down... we need to have what's and this gets a little bit confusing to figure out, but it needs to have a we talked about Kasidron, so we didn't get into the Kasidron issue because it's mostly discussed in the Poskim and Hilchos Tefillin more than in Mezuzah. But what happens if there's a letter with a crack in it? Right, let's do that. Right, so this also happened in this case. Right, that there is a base. I didn't write it up. There's a base and there's a crack in the middle of the base. Right? So does that mean that, well, there's no bays there? If you fill in the crack, you're writing a bays. And if the bays is in the middle of the mezuzah, so then you've written something low kasidron. So the way we normally understand it is that even if there's a crack in it, when you read it over, you read it as a bays, you can clearly see that you have what's called tvias ayin. It's recognized as a bays, so then it would be kasher. So it's a little tricky because a lot of these letters in Ksav Ashiris, right? It doesn't really. We know what a lamed is. The lameds that we write often is not going to be what it is in Ksav Ashiris. It would be the mistaken way. So you'll recognize it even though it's not written in that way. But anyways, I think that's what you would look for. That if the vav if it exists in a way that you recognize it as being a lamed, so it would still be kosher. Potentially you'd be able to repair it, maybe yes, maybe no. But it often happens, right, the vav on top of the lamed is a big issue, because it can't go into a hey or ches either, right? So even though it could go into a sort of in between the letters, it can't go into a letter. So it often will get some shortchanged a bit. It's also a very issue, meaning the Mishnah Berurah says, if it looks like a yud and not like a vav, but usually it looks someplace between a yud and a vav. Right, that's the problem, right? How big, right? A vav is the term that they use is in halachos of writing is the width of the kulmus. Kulmus is the quill that you use. So, but when in halacha they're talking about the width of a kulmus. So a yud is normally a one kulm. The top is one kulmus with a little bit coming down. A vav is one kulmus on top with two coming down, right? So what about if it's longer than a yud but shorter than a vav? So these are these get certain people very excited, these kinds of questions.
I'm looking at like page 9 in your handout, page 9, the last lama, right? In the second column, there's a lama, the last word.
Okay, yeah. Right. I mean, that's not Ksav Ashuris. This is the Ksav of the Aruch HaShulchan or of the printer. Would that be kosher? I'm not sure if there is a limit to how far you could bend it. I'm not sure. Let me take a look. I never made it through the whole Ksav class. So, and the truth is, because I looked at it for the shiur this past Shabbos, I don't think it's really discussed in the Masechta Sofrim either, in the Mishnah Berurah's discussion of what the letters are supposed to look like. So, not sure.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.